Saturday morning and welcome to Sports Talk right here on 93.5 FM. I'm Steve Carnell along with you. Kurt Carroll in with us as well. Kendall will be in here hopefully shortly. And Coach Smith will join in as well. But welcome to Sports Talk on this Saturday morning, a beautiful Saturday morning. Great day to get out and about, or probably like me and Kurt, sit home and watch a lot of football this afternoon. A lot of great games coming up. But the Tigers last night, they gut out a win. That's a good way to say it. They gutted out a win over Pure and improved to 6-0 overall, 2-0 in region play with a 21-14 win. Coming up, like I said, Coach Smith will join in, and we'll discuss last night's homecoming win. And let's see. Also, we'll take a look at some scores from last night. And a preview of next week's game. We'll take a look at SEC schedule. We'll discuss some Tennessee and UTSA as they meet up on the hill today. Tennessee trying to recover after last week. I don't know if Tennessee's trying to recover more than Tennessee fans are. And that game's coming up at 3 p.m. this afternoon right here on 93.5 FM. Kirk, last night was not a night for the meek. It was a game of dogs. You were either a dog or just trying to survive. You went into survival mode.
Yeah, that team, they played downhill. I mean, we didn't know anything about them other than what walked out onto the field. And what walked out on the field looked good. I mean, when you're playing a team that has 6'5", 200-pound defensive backs, and linebackers that are long and lanky and rangy and fast. And then they had two or three of those really talented scat backs that you can't play tag in the backyard with because nobody'd ever get them. I mean, it was but it was also a great game to prepare for down the road because they win the game, and that's number one. Found a way to win the game. They got hit in the mouth. I mean, old boys did. I mean, they didn't hold anything back. They were talented and aggressive. They had all the makings except didn't look like they had but about 25, 30 guys on the team.
Yeah, if they had that, I was looking at the roster when I got it early. I said, maybe 25 kids.
And they played top talent. They've got a schedule that was as hard as anybody's that I've seen. And – they played everybody. They played Haywood. They were up on Haywood to start the game. And
played Pearl Contough, number one team in the state.
Yeah, they can play. And to come out of that game with a win, man, that will be a great film study for players and coaches to, you know, see what might be down the road and play another team with that kind of talent and know that you can come out with a win. Should be a confidence booster. And as long as everybody stayed healthy through the game, which that's a question mark we can ask Coach about.
Yeah, and, you know, you talk about the look test, and we do that. A lot of times teams come in here and we go, oh, man, they look like a, you know, maybe a Division II or college team out there, and they built. But they're not quite disciplined enough, and, you know, it doesn't turn out to what you see. But you see some good-looking athletes out there. This team – looked the part, like you said, and they played the part. I didn't know what we were going to expect, and nobody did. Well, except for the coaching staff and the players, but us as fans. And I got to ask all week, who's Pure? What are they? And I said, well, the best thing I can tell you is it's some kind of homeschool program. They've got an athletic team, and you know, Coach Smith said last week they've got some money in there. They've got some facilities. They travel well. Charter bus, and And they got there a little late, but it didn't matter. They got out on the field, did their thing, went and dressed, and came out, and they played four quarters of football.
Well, you know, all the pregame music that they play, you know, upbeat, energetic music, and we were watching them during warmups, and they all had great rhythm.
Yeah.
Those players were down there, they were loose, you know, and they could dance to that music. They had the makings. You could just see it. Usually guys that have really great rhythm also have great feet in a football game. And, boy, that was the truth.
Yeah, and you play a game like last night where a team that, like you said, that, you know, they're going to hit you in the mouth. They run downhill. They hit. They tackle really well. Probably one of the best tackling teams that I saw last night. But moving forward, you know, we're getting into the meat of the schedule now with – our some district games coming up, very important district games coming up, and try to close this district out and get that number one spot.
Yeah, and it's all to give that team, Hardin County, a lot of confidence. I mean, it wouldn't be, you know, you played against a team that had that much going for them and you come out on top. Probably the brightest spot of the game, you know, we talk about offense. It's easy to talk about offense. You always see how well the ball's thrown, who makes great catches, long runs, you know, all that's exciting to watch offense. We don't talk as much about the defense. Now, if you listen to Coach Smith, you know, his undertone every week here is, yeah, but our defense did this, you know, our defense did that. And you got to give credit where our defense made these adjustments at halftime and did, you know, did their job. And last night, it was the defense. I mean, the defense won the ball game for them.
Yeah, they did. All right, we'll take a timeout when we come back. Hopefully Coach Smith will walk in here. He's somewhere. And we'll talk about last night's game with Pure Academy and also get you set for next week as the Tigers will be on the road for only the second time this season as we'll head over to Chester County. All that's coming your way here in just a few minutes. This is Sports Talk right here on 93.5 FM. Back after this. Welcome back to Sports Talk right here on 93.5 FM. Appreciate you tuning in on this Saturday morning. Beautiful Saturday morning out there. And be a great day to get out and enjoy. I think we're getting close to fall. We're getting close to fall. Like, is it fall yet? Officially?
Well, you get our age, you fall off.
Yeah, you fall. Yeah, really. I have to watch what I'm doing. I like watch you going down those steps, coming out of the press box. You do it every time.
Yeah, I do. That first step, it's a black grade, and it's black outside, no light, and I just, you know, it's not but about 12 years I've come out of that press box.
Yeah.
And how you miss that step 12 years in a row is, you know, at least I'm consistent.
Matthew, let me tell you what I'm dealing with. I'm dealing with a guy that texts me last night before the game. He shoots me a text. You know what the text reads? What time we go on tonight? Well, 6:30. I mean, we've been doing this for, 20 years now? Kirk has anyway. I feel like I've been doing about 50. He texts me. You see what the challenges are?
All I can tell you is it's homecoming week and the fair week all combined.
So yeah, that's good scheduling right there. And then
there have been games in the past on homecoming that – you have requested that we be there earlier than normal because of certain proceedings and that you were going to announce some of the court and all that other stuff. So, you know, being the reliable employee, I wanted to make sure I was there on time.
Well, for what you get paid, you need to be there on time.
Yeah, it's that time that guy wanted me fired because I said something about his son on the radio.
And yeah, called me up.
He called Steve up wanting me to be fired. And Steve said, I don't know how to fire him. I've never hired him.
Never hired him, never paid him. I don't know what to do with him. We'll just keep him. But we'll bring in Coach Matthew Smith. Coach, homecoming week, like you said, a lot of distractions and a team that was coming in with an 0-5 record. But as they proved last night, maybe one of the best winless teams I've seen in a while. And they were hard to handle, and they came out firing on all cylinders and really ended up being a really good test for your kids.
Well, absolutely. I mean, we had scouted them the last 2 years, didn't end up playing them last year, but their record is not an indication of what type of team that they are. I mean, they play some of the top programs, not only in the state of Tennessee, but in the Southeast, really. I mean, had Lipscomb Academy on film last year. Everybody knows what kind of program that is out of Nashville. This year, played in one of the 6A's in Murfreesboro, had played Pearl Cone, had played Haywood this year. So, I mean, they're playing the top-end teams in the state of Tennessee. And, you know, we knew what kind of matchup, knew what kind of players that they're going to have, talked to our kids all week of what type of game this was going to be. And, you know, I was proud of our kids for pushing through a week with a lot of distractions, as we mentioned, but finding a way to win the game in the end.
Well, that's what we were talking about last night. They played three of the top teams in West Tennessee, really, middle West Tennessee. Pearl Cone, number one in the state. I think they only beat them by a couple of touchdowns, maybe. I know Haywood game earlier in the year was 28-21, and this game last night, 21-14. Like you said, I was looking at their schedule. They go all over the place. They played a couple of top teams in Mississippi. They've been as far as Cookeville to play. And two, the speed of the game in which they played and what you saw on film last night before Kirk gets you, how in the world do you – tried to emulate that in practice? Because I don't know that we have anybody that can, or several people that can run like they could last night.
Well, I mean, you know, you can't. I mean, when you play a team that is that fast, but you know, you preach to them all week and try to put it the best that we've got, the fastest that we've got, to get the best look that we can throughout the week of practice. And you know, I thought really, defensively, we probably played our best game of the year last night defensively. I thought we flew around, you know, number five. Two kind of hurt us last night, but on film, five had done that to Pearl, had done that to Haywood. I mean, he had run through them, had big yards against them, and I thought we really did a great job of keeping him in check last night throughout the game. And as I said, you know, two hurt, especially on the punt return, and then had a cutback run on us in there. But I was really pleased with the way that we pursued the football and tackled and really were physical in the game defensively.
Well, and another thing, too, is the way your defense, your defensive back in the secondary was able to – they didn't have a real great quarterback that could just, you know, hum it. He didn't have a great strong arm. But – they had 6'5" guys that were receivers. And the way the secondary played and broke up passes and, you know, got position on those, I thought your secondary, it was their best game too.
I did as well. And most of the time, you know, on film that we had scouted with those receivers, I mean, you see him dropping, throwing it up, whether he underthrows them or – gets it out there enough for them, they're going up snagging the ball out of the air, kind of like they did on the touchdown play, where I really think he was throwing it to a different guy.
Oh, he was throwing it to a different guy.
You know, zero comes right hanging in the air and makes a play. We'd seen that numerous times, you know, on film. So
it looked like a basketball rebound where the other guy comes across the lane and takes the ball away from the guy under the basket.
Right, and I was pleased with the way that our DBs went up and competed for balls and, you know, got it on the ground and did some things on that end. So, yeah, I was very pleased defensively with the way that we played.
We'll just keep going on that. Let me ask you this. Was probably some of the best halftime adjustments too. I mean, they were able to get the edge on you. I mean, they were – and I was praying the whole night that they didn't start running jet sweeps to that number two, because with his speed and getting out there in space – to the field side, I thought, Lord have mercy, how are we ever going to catch him if he's full speed when he gets the ball, you know. But you came out in the second half. You had to do something. I don't know if you moved your linebackers or you brought more pressure on the run on the outside, but your defensive adjustments at halftime made a big difference in their run game.
Well, I thought, you know, really after the first one that bounced on us, and we were playing a little different coverage. We were playing split safety instead of single safety last night, really keeping the backers close to the box because in their throwing game, now you saw it toward the end where they just raised up and tried to throw a little screen to two, but they really hadn't done that on film. All their throwing game was vertical, letting that kid just drop back and heave it up. And so we really kept the backers tight to the box in there and, you know, kept Sam, our star safety, back over top of the tight end. So he had to run a little different angle than he normally does when we play cover three. And he adjusted his angle pretty well later on. And we took our defensive ends instead of slanting them so hard down inside. We played them more vertical in that C gap, and that made a little difference. I thought all three of those guys played really well last night.
It looked like the technique in the old 50 defense where your defensive ends come upfield, you know, and either make them push them back or be able to make the play, and instead of them being able to just, like you were saying, that coming hard inside. It was because in the run game, you really did shut them down in the second half. They had to start throwing, not so much because they were behind, but you were putting them behind the sticks almost every down.
Yeah, we were able to make quite a few negative plays there that, like you say, put them behind the sticks and kind of forced them to pass. And, you know, again, what they had done in their run game in the three films that we had scouted, which, you know, a Tunica, Mississippi team that's one of the top 3A teams in Mississippi, Pearl Cone, which we all know what they've got, and Haywood, they were able to run a lot of that zone up inside with those two big guards that they had. You know, those guards were 300-plus, and Five did a great job of finding seams, and we were able, with our Mike back and our two defensive tackles, take those seams and kind of force it to bubble, and we were there to make the play.
All right, we'll take a timeout. You're listening to Sports Talk right here on 93.5 FM. We're talking with Coach Matthew Smith about last night's win over Pure Academy. We'll talk more about last night's game when we return. We'll be back right after this.
I want to tell you what.
I'm in love with a girl I can't live without. I'm in love, but I sure. To be in love, to be in love. Well, let her be somebody else's queen. I don't want to know.
Taking Kurt back a little bit. To these 30s.
it may be a little bit before that. That. I had an older sister that listened to, you know, 50s and 60s music. I don't know what ever got out of that.
It's the last time you've heard Grand Funk Railroad.
Yeah, I mean, this is a football show. You know, we really need – there's a lot to cover over this.
Well, what you don't understand, so you're not listening a lot of time. There's a theme to every show.
Oh, this according is a love
to the,
theme?
According to the game.
There were some guys last night I fell in love with.
See, there you go. See, it all worked out. Matthew, you know, we talked in the pregame show last night a lot about our offense, and our offense has been tremendous all season long, you know, 41 points per game. Our defense has been stingy. But last night you really had to put it on the defense's back. We just struggled a little bit. It just seemed like I don't know if – and I asked Kirk this in the post game, you know, with the speed of the game and how it flows, does it put added pressure on certain plays or certain pass plays or certain routes that are run? Does it speed everything up for everybody as the game goes along? You go, okay, this is not a normal team that, you know, team speed-wise that we're playing.
Well, You know, I think last night they were playing a lot of drop eight coverage, especially in our spread sets. So they were rushing three, dropping eight most of the time when we were 2x2. And, you know, the numbers tell you to run the football against that because we can get them in a five-man box there. And then we had RPOs set up off that quite a bit. And, you know, last night we just weren't as consistent as we normally are. We had some bust here and there. We had a penalty or two here and there. We got behind the sticks. You know, it's hard to get in a flow offensively. And, you know, they were sitting back. They were not going to give up the big play. They had two high safeties there that could close half the field. Both of them could. And they were not going to let you get behind them and give up the big play. So, yeah, and in the passing game, certainly windows are tighter. In the run game, holes close faster. You know, all those kinds of things when you're playing a team that's that fast with all 11 on defense, certainly. So, yeah, that, I mean, they had a good defense. We weren't as consistent, I thought, in our execution as we normally are or have been offensively. And it was a tough night. But we found a way to be able to make some plays. And we had some guys – you know, step up and make big catches for us. We had guys step up and make big runs in crucial situations for us last night. And you could really see, I thought, guys compete and lay it on the line last night.
Well, we had a couple of guys that the injury bug got them a little bit last night. Of course, our running game, and Kurt mentioned several times about Cam and the way that he took over. He had to basically carry the load from – I think about halfway through the second quarter on at the running back spot, plus play on the other side at cornerback. But he did an outstanding job. I mean, he found holes, hit them hard, played tough, got some tough yardage. Something a little bit different. He's a fast guy, but you talked about last week he's one of your stronger guys as well, and it proved last night when Jacob went out, and we hope he's okay moving forward. We're going to have him, but looked like an ankle or something last night.
Yeah, with Jake, I've talked to his mother this morning. X-ray was negative on any kind of break or anything. So, you know, just kind of stretched the Achilles a little bit, sprained ankle type deal with him. So they're going to be icing it all weekend, all that kind of stuff. But, you know, we kind of held him out. And when he kind of went down the second time, he had done it. And Blake said, you know, we're going to hold him out there because – needed to make sure there was no break or anything in there. And Cam really stepped up and took the bulk of the carries and ran hard between the tackles, got tough yards, as you said, all night long. So very pleased with him and the way he was able to compete and run the ball in the game.
Well, what about the health of Blankenship after he did his gymnastic move? He did that 360 in the air and landed on his back.
Yeah, he was playing more about the knee. Went back in the game. He wasn't able to be full speed in the game. So, you know, we knew Cam was going to have to take the bulk of the carries, put Maddox Ruddle in at corner who'd played, especially in the summer and in the 7-on-7 stuff. And Maddox always been a physical guy, and you know, he was able to step up and make some plays for us defensively.
Yeah, he did.
That was two again that made that play. Bennett Jr., I think I called his name out all night long, Bennett Jr., and he did everything for him. But
yeah, I called him Tyreek Hill. I mean, that's what he looked like when he got his hands on the ball.
Yeah, he was something else. But yeah, offensively, like I said, you had to find a way, and you found a way, and got the win.
But he also, we were really proud and got excited last night about your kicker. He took a really hard shot on the extra point. And
yeah, and I thought, you know, that that kid for doing that, I mean, he lowered the crown of his helmet. I mean, that was targeting if I've ever seen it there. And he was off sides. First of all, the play should have been blown dead because he was off sides. You know,
well, I noticed a couple of times last night they let the play go after they called motion. You know, it should have been a dead ball.
Yeah, and that didn't happen, and he came right through there and just lowered his head and hit him, and lucky he was okay. Made that extra point somehow, some way on that, yeah. And then comes back later in the game, makes a huge tackle on the kickoff team.
One of the biggest solo tackle plays in the game, because he was the last guy on the field, and it was going to be six. And you know, it's always fun to see a kicker who are really trained in making solo tackles in the open field. How he came up and tackled the return guy, you know, to save a touchdown. And I think he enjoyed that more than he did making the extra point.
He was excited about it. Certainly, and we were too.
Yeah, that was a fun part of the game last night. We knew, like you were talking about, their closing speed. I don't think any of our guys have played in a game to where, when they caught the ball with their back to the field and turned, like on our bubble screens and stuff like that, they're not used to a guy hitting them as soon as they get their head around. I mean, those guys, man, they came downhill. And do you think that our players were kind of shell-shocked in that first, you know, 5-6 minutes of the game, because we were. I mean, we were going, you know, wow, these guys can play.
Well, I mean, we had preached to them all week. We had watched the film, studied the film with them. So, I mean, they knew what kind of team that we were about to play. And, of course, again, we had – a lot of the guys were on the team last year there at the end of the year, had broken down their film, and they had seen the kind of athletes that – you know, Pure has and stuff. But until you get out there and actually see the speed, play at the speed, you certainly have got to adjust, because us, West Tennessee team, as we mentioned earlier, can't really simulate that type of speed in practice. So, and that's another reason, you know, I wanted to take the ball the first drive to kind of get us in the flow of the game and allow the defense to look at it a little bit before they go out there and play.
Well, you know, one of the things too that we've talked about is so many high school teams, when they get, you know, 5, 6, 7 yards behind the sticks and they're in a third and long, third 12, it's really hard, because they just don't have the talent or the arm strength of the quarterback, or they just don't have a play for that. We this year have been in that situation probably 20 times and have found ways to, you know, get those first downs. Testament to your quarterback and receivers and your expert play calling. And last night, that was a team that was going to be hard to do that. Those penalties were more penalizing last night than they would have been against, say, one of these teams that we were scoring 40 points on.
Yeah, and that's like you see on Saturdays and Sundays, why those downs and distances are so hard to pick up. And, you know, we were able to get a few of them last night, and thought we were able to move the pocket, make some throws in tight windows and convert some of those. But, yeah, they were much more difficult when you're playing that kind of team speed than maybe on a different game. But – certainly good for our kids to see. And I've shared this with our team. If we want to get to the level that we want to get to, we got to play teams like that. We got to match up against teams like that, because that's what it's going to be, you know, in the second, third, fourth round of the playoffs, is teams with that kind of speed.
Well, it goes back to, you know, that word that carries all the weight now is you got to learn how to finish. And that was, to me, last night, the thing that – it would have been easy to give up another one of those explosive plays to them, you know, and that game would have been in jeopardy. We were just one play, you know. I told him, I said, man, we need to be 9 points ahead. I don't care how we get it, but we need to be 9 points ahead, because they truly were that type team that could score on any down, and your defense held up.
They did, and I will say this, and Coach Rendell and I talked about it after the game. I mean, you never felt – even when they punted the ball, you never, because we had seen them on film too, take the snap and just go to running.
I thought they would do that last night.
And, you know, it was never, a safe feeling when they were punting the ball that they were actually going to punt the ball, you know. And so I thought even there on special teams, we weren't perfect on special teams, gave up the punt return early, but we were able to get some things, gave up the kickoff deal, but we were able to get some things special teams as well. You know, we recovered a couple kickoffs. Good onside kick by Nolan, executed very well there with the surprise middle. So we were able to make some plays there that certainly helped us as well.
Yeah, you know, and last night too, I want to mention this. We, the post game show, we were talking about it. We don't do a player of the game or whatever, but if we did, we had several people last night that it just seemed like was a theme of calling their name out. Of course, you know, we talk about Adam a lot, but Hayden Tibble had a heck of a game, it seemed like, last night. Made a lot of big plays, made some plays, tackles for losses and things like that. Parker Gerald's made a couple of big plays late. Sam Tanner, like you talked about earlier, Caleb Durbin had a big night last night. Seemed like he was in on a lot of plays last night. And so, you know, like you said, you had to lean on your defense, and I feel like that, you know, you had some kids step up, especially in the second half, that was a difference in the game.
Well, I really thought, you know, our whole defensive front, Tayshawn probably played his best game of the year.
Yeah, I forgot about
plays at the nose.
He sure did.
All three of the defensive ends and Carter Durbin, Owen Roberts, and Carter Pig stepped up and made plays for us. Adam, of course, was – probably had one of the best games as a defensive tackle that I can remember in a lot of years.
Of anybody playing.
Last night. I mean, he was all over the field, chasing things down, making plays, tackles for loss. I mean, he
Well,
really,
that was the other thing, too, that, you know, we've always talked about it, is you had D linemen that were making tackles 10 yards downfield. They all chased the ball. I mean, there was no back off in any of them. Those were the things that were impressive to me, is just as a unit, they were all getting after it on defense.
Yeah, I thought, you know, certainly a high intensity level and pursuing the football. And, you know, some of Hayden's biggest plays there that, you know, doesn't maybe look as great on the stat sheet, but saving touchdowns, he saved 2-3 touchdowns that I know of on their explosive plays, that great pursuit angle there, and he was the last guy and made the play, you know, there at the end. So certainly proud of him and you know, really all of our kids, the way they competed and battled defensively.
Well, the Tigers get a big win, 21-14 over Pure. They improved to 6-0, remain 2-0 in the district, and we get back in district play next week. We'll tell you what's ahead for Hardin County as we go on the road for the second time of the year, and also we'll look at scores from the region last night. You're listening to Sports Talk right here on 93.5 FM. Welcome back to Sports Talk right here on 93.5 FM. I'm Steve Cornell along with Kurt Carroll, Kendall Atkinson in with us, and Coach Matthew Smith. Let's take a look at scores from last night. Dyersburg defeated Northside 21-13, Lexington 35, Southside 14, and I guess in the district game of the week, South Gibson defeated Chester County 35-28 in overtime. And Matthew, next week we go on the road again for the second time. We'll head to Chester County. They got defeated last night in overtime at South Gibson, and so we'll go over there. They're a talented team. They got some kids back from last year. If I remember right, they've got some kids with some pretty good size, and they had things rolling when they came over here to Jim Carroll in 2022, and then things didn't go well for them, but they'll be ready for us.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and a lot of the preseason picks or whatever. I mean, had them up top end of the district, and I certainly feel that way. They've got a big senior class. Of course, I'd seen them, you know, all the way through with Carter and them being in middle school, and they played again. We've always played against Chester County from middle school, freshman, JV to high school, and they got a big senior class. Coach Johnson, I think second year in the program now, has done an outstanding job with them. Defensive coordinator at Lexington for years and years. Their scouts come back last night, physical game against South Gibson. They've got some athletes and playmakers, so it certainly will be a test for us. And you know, as I tell our kids with all district games, I mean, they're district championship games. You want to control your own destiny in the district, which sets you up not only for the district championship, but playoffs, home field in the playoffs, all those kinds of things. You got to win these games, and certainly will be a challenge for us. We got to have a great week getting ready and prepared for them.
Other than the two we mentioned, and Jacob and Wes, any other injuries that could affect this coming week?
No, I think, you know, I mean, certainly after playing a game like that, and you want guys to be tired in the locker room. You want guys to put it out there on the line, and certainly I thought we did that last night. We, you know, just bumps and bruises, those kinds of things. But I think we should be okay.
Yeah, it was just it was a great game to watch. I mean, it's fun that we've railroaded several teams out there this year. I mean, and teams that are just not equipped. This team had the talent to win that ball game, and you know, with the combination of the effort, I mean, that was the part of the game that was so much fun to watch, because without that kind of effort, they don't win that game last night. And it's well coached. I think you outcoached them. Sometimes a lot of coaching against that much talent still doesn't work, but last night, the way the defense played and offense eking out enough to, you know, to get the win, it was just a fun ball game to watch last night.
Yeah, and it was fun to be a part of. You know, that's always special for me when our kids lay it out there on the line. You're in a battle in a game like that, and you know, really both teams are competing hard, and those are fun games to be a part of. And last night was certainly you know, one of those games. That was fun to be a part of. It was challenging, coaching, playing in it, and really proud of our kids for the way that they competed in the game.
Well, the Tigers get the win 21-14. We'll move on to Chester County. That's coming up on Friday. Airtime 6:30. Kickoff time is set for 7 p.m. right here on 93.5 FM. Coach, congratulations on the win and improving to 6-0. And we'll talk to you next Saturday, hopefully talking about another win and get 3-0 in the region.
All right, thanks for having me.
All right, we'll take a timeout. Kendall Atkinson to join us. We'll get his take on last night's game. Also, we'll look at the SEC schedule and talk about our game right here on 93.5 FM coming up at 3 as Tennessee hosts UTSA. We'll be back right after this.
That was last night.
Welcome back to Sports Talk right here on 93.5 FM. Let's bring in Kendall Atkinson. We just talked with Coach Matthew Smith, got his perspective last night. Kendall, you ever seen anything like that we witnessed last night as far as being on the field with?
I've seen teams of that kind of talent, but I've never seen a team like that and them be winless. I just don't know. They must – of course, we know about Pearl Cone and obviously the other 6A school they've played, and then the team out of Mississippi that they played as well. But, my goodness, they've got an arsenal over there, and it's really only about, like Coach Smith said, 20 guys that play both ways.
The way it looked before the game was kind of like they put together a little AAU team to play basketball when my oldest son was – in elementary school. I think they were all around 12 years old. And we went and played in AAU, and Penny Hardaway had a basketball team out of Memphis, and all of our kids were about, you know, 5'2" to 5'6". Adam Milligan played on that team. He was the tallest one, and he was probably, you know, 5'7". And they come out with three guys that are 6'4", you know, 6'3". It was 50-0 before we got the ball across half court. I mean, these guys were just like pro players, and we found out later they were like 14 years old, 15 years old, playing against our 12-year-olds, and that's kind of the way it looked that with that team last night, man. There was not a player in a position that didn't look like he was built and made for the position he was playing. I mean, they were just really an athletic team, and to come out with a win last night and the way they played, man, that was a fun ball game.
Well, I was just sitting here thinking, you know, I'm surprised Penny really went and tried to get an advantage like that.
Oh, yeah.
I tell you what, though, like we talked about their big tight ends both being 6'5", 250, but one thing that's always caught my eye, and I think back to when Cordero played for Tennessee, and you think about like Devin Hester and all these good, really good skilled backs, and you really just see it. I've just see it for the most part at the next level. I saw it with Tony Pollard when he played for Melrose. But, you know, two, like, you know, his big gashing plays, when they put that foot in the ground and it looks the part and then the results are there, that's a good athlete.
And, well, and I mean, we hadn't played against a team that had that kind of closing speed. You know, we talked about their linebackers last night. If the offensive line got their front defensive line blocked up pretty good, their linebackers were in our backfield, you know, just coming through gaps, and they could play. And it was good to see our team bow up in that situation instead of – it would have been easy to go, golly, we can't play with these guys. Yeah, well, but they didn't have that mentality, and that was the effort. You were seeing those defensive linemen. I mean, like Harris and the rest of them too, they were chasing the ball downfield. You said it last night, 10, 11, 12 yards downfield, and your defensive linemen are making tackles, chasing the ball. That's just effort.
Oh, yeah. It's all effort. Yeah, you can't coach that either.
No, I mean, that's just that team's made up of the right stuff.
I didn't mean to interrupt. I was just sitting here thinking, though, you know, with that type of speed, and we were talking about last night, we asked Coach Smith about it, and I'll ask you about it. You play the position at quarterback. When you play against a team with that type of team speed, the clock in your head really speeds up a little bit, and maybe – you feel pressure that's not there, or you feel like that you have to get rid of the ball when you could wait an extra second, or how do you feel when you got bullets coming at you all the time?
One thing I think was a big point in the ball game last night is when they kind of made us one-dimensional. They pretty much stopped the run and made a statement in the run game pretty quick, and we hadn't seen that yet. And last night, of course, it's real different from when I played, because Carter's – about 6'5", and my kind of hurrying up in regards to the pass rush was catch the snap and take about 5-7 yards.
Well,
step back. He didn't have to do that.
Well, yeah. Steve talks about the clock in your head. Every game you have a different clock, just based on by the time you get into the second half, you've got a pretty good idea as a quarterback how much time you're going to have before you get the pressure. And Carter, he's a pro-style pocket quarterback. So his clock's got to be pretty accurate. And if you're having 2.5 seconds to get rid of the football before somebody hits you, that becomes your clock. Instead of 4 seconds, like some of the games we played that he's had to throw, his clock now is 2.5 seconds, 3 seconds. So when he drops back, even though he's not under pressure, he's in that 2.5 second mode, and it kind of makes you rush, or it looks like you're rushing a throw, but really it's just you start timing routes that you can throw to in 2.5 seconds.
Yeah, and I think when you noticed that was like mid second quarter. obviously you're not worried too much. We're not going to have this issue about the pass rush when we're running like these, you know, bubble screens and zero routes and hitches at the you know, first down marker. But about mid-second quarter last night, if we were running like a Batman with a wheel route or we're trying to get that 10-yard out route at the sticks, you could definitely tell that 2-3 second, and then you better shift left or shift right because they're coming.
I mean, it's going to be there.
It was reckless abandonment. I mean, they're
well,
just coming
and the other
hot.
Thing too, when you play a team like that has, I mean, we had guys that are in that, you know, 5'9", 5'10", kind of size, trying to block their corners that were 6'2", you know, and outweigh them 30 pounds on a bubble screen. And you can't do that. I mean, you can't hold that block like you can against somebody your size and weight. And so by the time the ball got to the receiver's hands out there on those little quick screens, the block was gone, and the inside leverage came and was there too. So, I mean, that wasn't going to work.
Hey, real quick, Kristen, we need to take a legal ID, so go ahead and do that now, and we'll continue this conversation in just a few seconds.
All right. I've got 5, 3.
All right, welcome back to Sports Talk right here on 93.5 FM. Hey, Kendall, you know, I wanted to ask you what I was thinking about. You saw the game last night from up in the press box with the broadcast last year. Over at Pearl Cone, you were down on the field. So, comparison of the two.
A lot different when you're field level. And you see the size, and you feel that little breeze when they run by you on the sideline. There is no – it's kind of like me and my dad had a chance to sit basically on the field at Tennessee and Florida last year. And being that close to the field, it's just different. I mean – everything's kind of put into perspective. It's, and of course, last night, I mean, just look at the roster, and they passed the eye test and they played like they, you know, you get a team like that that's 0-5.
Well, that was impressive too, 0-5 and playing till the end.
Well, and it's almost like they had, there was a little bit of a vibe of, well, I'm just going out here, I'm going to play. You know, really no really technique that stood out, nothing. Too fancy about their play calling on defense or on offense, but it was more of that backyard style. But man, they executed it pretty well. I mean, and
like, you know, we said last night, I was wondering why, you know, their real good runner that hurt us all night was their punter. And if it had been me,
Bennett Jr., I was
and it was another thing too. I never did understand why. I mean, he touched the ball on offense probably 4 or 5 times. If I'd had that kind of runner, he would have touched it 15 times.
Well, I mean, that's what I mean by the backyard style too, because there late, it was kind of the first time I picked up on the consistent pattern of our safety giving him about a 15-yard cushion. I mean, we're playing teams like South Gibson and Giles County. As soon as they see that's who's getting the football. I mean,
well literally speaking. That kid last night, if he caught the ball and had a 3-yard space, if he had 3 yards to work in, we were going to do good to touch him. He was that quick and that athletic. And what happened was, and we talked about it, when you play somebody like that, the only way to tackle them is with numbers. You got to have 2 or 3 guys there, you know, to help make the play. And that's what they did. They started getting people running to the football. I mean, there were lots of times they gained 5 yards and there was 3 guys there and he gained 5 yards against 3 of us.
Well, I know this. Our burner came in and at the end of the game caught the pass, went into the end zone for the winning score. They didn't catch Jack Gray last night.
That was one of the most fun plays of the game because – Jack caught that ball, and he had about a 5 or 6 yard advantage on the guy behind him. He caught it about the 30, I think, was been pretty close. And as soon as he caught that ball, he checked back to see where the 6'5", 230-pound guy was that was chasing him. And, man, it looked like in the backyard when your older brother snatches – the cupcake out of your hand and takes off running after the little brother. And Jack put Jack looked like he was a rabbit being chased by a fox.
Me and Jack got a lot in common. I always ran faster when somebody's behind me.
I'll tell you what, I don't know if you remember this. Reed Barker was we were playing over at Melrose, and it was one of those years where they I don't know if Mac was a sophomore then or what.
When they had all the gold shoes.
Yeah, they had all the gold shoes. But anyway, we're down on about the 30-yard line, and we just do a belly play. And somehow or another, they just bring the house. He gets through the line of scrimmage. He breaks out
he's
the pack.
He's in full
There's
speed.
There's full speed, nothing but green grass ahead of him. And there goes Reed, and he's down at the 35.
Yeah,
now, he actually made it to about the 45-50 yard line, but I mean, he had nothing in front of him, and then all of a sudden, woof,
yeah, it kind of looked like the road runner, you know.
Well, he wasn't the most fleet of foot anyway.
Well, yeah, pretty for his size,
yeah,
he was.
Yeah.
That's like Harris last night. You know, when you see three guys chasing one of their fastest guys, and there are two of them is our fastest guys on the field chasing this guy down the sideline, and you look up and Harris is one of the three from his defensive tackle position that's getting there to make the tackle 40 yards downfield. I mean, he's got wheels. I mean, there was no – you can't disguise
– running back in middle school.
Yeah. Well, he caught a touchdown pass last night.
Yeah, I mean –
yeah, that's right.
From tight end sure position.
He's versatile.
Know. Yeah. But, you know, the thing about him, though, if y'all go back, when he was a freshman and came in and played a few plays, and I think one or two games he had to come in because of injury and play. We talked about this back then, you know, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, about, man, that guy don't quit. I mean, he's running sideline and sideline. This is a freshman. You know, you don't do that, and he's doing that. And then, you know, you go into sophomore year. I remember, I think it's last year, where we discussed where – like, when he hits you, he tackles you angry. Now, he may help you up, but when he hits you,
yeah,
I mean, you're going to know that Adam was there. And
yeah, somebody ought to be looking at him.
And then look at him now, yeah.
I mean, he can play. I don't care what his height is.
Hands like a pillow last night. Did you see that? Man. It was just soft hands, you know.
He told an official one night he'd run somebody down, and that official looked at him and said, man, D-tackle running somebody down. He went, I'm not slow.
Well, you know, thinking back to last season when we were at Pearl Cone, I had to fill in for Blake. And, of course, Wilkes suffers that terrible injury, but Adam ended up breaking his collarbone. And at halftime, all the coaches were like, hey, Adam, he's hurt. Something's wrong. And, of course, I walked up to him, and he was, like, visibly upset. And I was thinking to myself, if this guy is this upset, he's down bad. Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's just
– Did he come out?
Yeah, yeah.
He did.
I don't remember.
There is no quit.
He's one of those 1960s
hard-nosed.
Yeah, just football player. Some people are just born to play football, and he's one of them.
Let's take a quick timeout. When we come back, real quick, we'll look at the SEC schedule and what's ahead right here on WKWX coming up this afternoon. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to Sports Talk right here on 93.5 FM. Let's take a look at the SEC schedule for today. This is a good football schedule, whether it's SEC or just a whole slate of games that are coming up. It should be an exciting day. Coming up at 11, Auburn and Texas A&M. That's out at College Station. Kentucky at Vandy. I tried to get tickets for that game. It sold out. Couldn't get them. 2:30 game. Big game of the SEC. Ole Miss at Alabama. 6 p.m., Arkansas at LSU, Charlotte at Florida, 6:30, UAB and Georgia, Memphis at Missouri, Mississippi State at South Carolina, and our game here at 3 p.m., University of Texas, San Antonio at Tennessee. But before we get to that game, Ole Miss, Alabama coming up, 2:30 game, big game in the SEC. You know, all the talk has been Alabama's down, no quarterback, struggled last week. Ole Miss is kind of riding on high. They've got a quarterback. Talked with Hudson Wolf last night and got to talk to him up in the booth at halftime. And he seemed pretty excited about, you know, what's ahead for Ole Miss going into Alabama. But that's the key word, going in to Tuscaloosa and playing.
Yeah, it's always a hard game. And I think Alabama's favored. It would surprise me if Ole Miss beat them, but they've got some tools and some weapons, and Kiffin, he's a good offensive coach, so it'll be interesting. I think it's maybe I'll say it'll be close until it gets late in the game. I think Alabama beats them in the fourth quarter.
Well, our game here, University of Texas San Antonio, good football team. 10 games last year, 10-game winner, had a really good quarterback. I don't know that he's going to play. I think he's got turf toe. He may be out.
He's already out.
They've lost their best defensive rusher as well. And then, well, Ole Miss has got one their top receiver as he transferred to Ole Miss after the end of the season. But Tennessee trying to get back after the loss last week to Florida, and one just a loss. It was an ugly loss. And so Coach Heupel is now seeing, you know, what it's like to be a coach at the University of Tennessee and the Tennessee fans. Me and you were talking before we went on about, you know, kind of takes us back to the former years. You play that third game of the season and you lose it and you feel like your SEC schedule and chances are out the window. But
well, how they lost that game was disappointing.
That was the most disappointing thing.
I mean, they just pushed us around. You know, they played bully ball, and we didn't have an answer for it. And that's always kind of discouraging when for your prospects down the road because there's going to be teams that are better in Florida that they have on the schedule. So, you know, they're going to have to find some offense. You know, we're used to them putting 35 and 40 points on the board. With Hooker in there at quarterback, but I read somewhere that he had 2.5 seconds to throw in the game in the Florida game. That's on the offensive line. He also graded higher than anybody on the offense. I mean, Milton did it at quarterback, and everybody points to the quarterback because, you know, the offense not working, the quarterback's doing something wrong, you know, automatically. But there's a lot of pieces, just like Matthew said, in their game they had some bust, and a lot of times it looked like last night it looked like we only had one guy maybe miss, but a DN slipped in the backfield and makes that solo tackle before the play ever really gets started. So, and that's kind of the way Tennessee was against Florida. You know, there were a lot of bust in the game.
Yeah, Kendall. You know, Joe Milton, he's been a lot of the talk. Of course, you got a highly recruited quarterback on the sideline that's a freshman. People are saying, hey, we need to play him. We don't need to play him behind this offensive line, number one. But number two is they do run that RPO, and if you got a quarterback that's not willing to run it, that RPO, they can just pin their ears back. They don't even pay attention to the quarterback at that point.
Well, I mean, when you're 6'5", what, 225,
230.
You think there would be no hesitation to tuck the football and run. And I'm still not sold that that's his desire. With Hooker, he didn't care to give a big pump fake and take off scrambling, but in the same way with Dobbs. But with his size, I just wish he would – everybody wishes they had another Cam Newton. And, of course – hopefully we get things turned around today. It's just a quarterback-driven league, unfortunately. You see with Alabama right now, all the ruckus with them is due to their quarterback
situation. Teams with good quarterbacks are winning. Teams with average quarterbacks aren't. I mean, it's
well, what would take? This has been a question all week. I listen to a lot of sports shows up there throughout the week. What would it take to kind of get this fan base turned back around, get the players turned back around? I mean, is it going to take them to come out and put 60 on them, that type game?
This game won't turn the fan base around unless it's kind of like the Austin Peay. Austin Peay was kind of a warning. You know, Austin Peay shouldn't have been as difficult opponent as it was. And sometimes you can kind of write that off as overlooking them because of Florida and maybe some of that. But still, this is a different team, you know, than last year. Yeah, they're going to have to find different ways to – move the ball. And one of the negatives, in my opinion, is it's the same secondary that was average last year. Same guys playing the secondary, same coaches. So, I mean, I don't know that they will find an answer, you know, to a lot of their passing game, unless I do think they can get more pressure on the quarterback. I think their D front has got some better speed and players. And if that can happen, that'll help the defensive backs. But if their defensive line, like against Florida, it got pushed around too. So, I mean, they've got their work cut out for them.
We got such a spoiled fan base.
Every fan base is.
But it's ridiculous, in my opinion. You lose the national wide receiver of the year. You lose Hooker. We lose all these key pieces, and everybody expects to – you know, and rightfully so. That's a hope of mine every season. But you got to live in reality. I mean, you lost a lot of pieces, not on the offense, but on the defense too. And you see Byron Young; he stepped up huge for the Rams the past 2 weeks on Sundays. I mean, it's just some folks need some down to earth.
Well, everybody wants to be Alabama.
Yeah,
man. Hope 99% of the teams that are out there. Really, Georgia, Alabama, and Ohio State are really the three teams that are three deep with five-star athletes at every position. And they're just like shark teeth. When one of them breaks and goes away, another one flips up in its place. And Tennessee's not there with those numbers.
Well, one thing I heard yesterday, and they were talking it was the same question, you know, what would it take? And this guy that he's on a show up there, he said, I want to see him put two touchdowns on the board in the first quarter. He said, we averaged 14 points per game last year's season. We led the nation in touchdowns.
They also like scored every first possession.
And he said, and you go back and think about it, we scored 7 against Virginia Tech, 3 against Gopee, and Florida. Did we have a touchdown?
Touchdown.
Yeah, we had a touchdown there, and that's been it so far in the first quarter. So, you know, put 14 on and let's see, and let's be a little bit more vertical than we have been. Play calling has been –
well, here's the deal, and this was kind of the deal last night, and you heard Coach Smith talking about it, how they had 5 in the box, and that tells you can run the ball.
Yeah.
But if you can't run against 5 in the box, you're in trouble, because now that puts 6 in the secondary. And same thing with Tennessee against Florida. They were able to halt our run game with just base numbers, you know, on the defensive line and their linebacker. So the chart says run it. But if you can't run it against their basic 5 guys, you're not going to be able to throw it vertical like you did last year.
Well, we'll see. The Ball Network will take over at 1:30, I think, is the time this afternoon. Kickoff time set for 3 p.m. right here on 93.5 FM. And we'll have all the coverage of Tennessee and University of Texas San Antonio. That's coming up right here, our game of the week. Next week, we'll be in Henderson, Tennessee, as the Tigers will take on Chester County back in district play and try to remain undefeated there. Should be a great game. Airtime 6:30. Kickoff time is set for 7 p.m. And, of course, you can catch it here at 93.5 FM, WKWXFM.com, the WKWX app, or watch it online, live stream, YouTube channel Slice 93. So that should do it for us. Appreciate Coach Smith coming in for Kirk and Kendall and Kristen over at the station. I'm Steve Cornell saying have a great Saturday, and go Vols.
All righty, thank you.
All right, good job. See ya.